Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's Word serving as the basis for our meditation this morning is last week's Gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. The words of Jesus. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Your friends in Christ. I grew up with Reader's Digest in the house. Maybe some of you did too. If you're not familiar with it, Reader's Digest is this monthly collection of newsy articles and human interest stories, but it also had some recurring features, monthly features. One that I remember was entitled Word Power. Yeah, I'm getting some nods here. Increasing Your Vocabulary. It was a list of words, and then the reader was challenged to go down this list and see how many of them they knew. Well, on occasion I would do that, and invariably, the results would fall into one of three categories. Some words I knew, some words I clearly didn't know, and some words I recognized and thought I might have known them, but when you went to the answer key on the next page, discovered that maybe I didn't know them as fully as I thought I did. Now, I'm telling you this little story because our text for today revolves around a word that all of us recognize, and it may be that all of us understand it as well. But in the event that our understanding is somewhat incomplete, that it needs to be worked on, it's important that we get this word right. The word is repent. And the reason why we want to make sure we get it right is because in our text for today, Jesus links this word with the way of righteousness. In other words, the way in which we become righteous, forgiven in the eyes of God, and there is nothing more important than that. So today will be devoted to increasing our spiritual vocabulary by fully developing the meaning of the word repent. Let's begin by setting the stage for these words of Jesus. It's the same as our gospel lesson for today, but let's back up. The last week of Jesus' earthly ministry was Holy Week. Remember how he went into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday triumphantly riding the donkey. The next day, Monday of Holy Week, you may or may not recall, Jesus went to the temple and he drove out forcibly the marketers who were turning the temple area into a place of business as opposed to a place of worship and a place of prayer. Now, Jesus was already on shaky ground with the religious leaders of the day, and this secured them in their opposition. Next came Tuesday. Tuesday, Jesus went back to the temple. It was a long day of teaching and preaching and public instruction. It was also a day of escalating tension between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day. As the day goes on, Jesus gets increasingly more direct, increasingly more pointed, and increasingly more confrontational with them. Through pronouncements and parables, Jesus exposes them for their hypocrisy and for their unwillingness to embrace him as the Savior. The text which you heard is one example of that, as was our gospel lesson for today. Now, it is important for us to remember that whenever Jesus speaks this way, whenever Jesus speaks harsh words, he's always being consistent with his character as our loving Savior. So when he spoke these words to the religious leaders of the day, he wasn't just calling them out. He wasn't trying to humiliate them in front of their peers. He was trying to reach them. And that's what he was doing in our text. There wasn't much time left. Remember, this is Tuesday of Holy Week. 3 days later, he's going to be hanging on a cross. In this little parable, Jesus is making one last-ditch effort to reach his enemies, to call them to repentance and faith. The message and application of the words which we heard just a moment ago, that I read to you, not difficult to understand. The first son represents those who had no intention of giving up their sinful lifestyle. Jesus refers to them as the tax collectors and the prostitutes, but later repented and came to faith in Jesus. Initially, they said no to the things of God, but through the gospel preaching of John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts, and they said yes. They believed in Jesus. They embraced Him as their Savior. They turned from their former sinful past, and they lived lives of grateful obedience. The other son represents those who said the right and respectful things, but didn't follow through on their words. They gave the appearance of compliance, the appearance of obedience, but they were really disrespectful toward their father. While appearing righteous, their actions proved them to be anything but. Jesus was talking about the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones who seemed to be all about the things of God. But when John the Baptist told them, came to them and told them about Jesus Christ and turning to Him for forgiveness, when John the Baptist told them about the way of righteousness, how to be right in the eyes of God through faith in Jesus as their Savior, they rejected Him. And holding on to that belief that Jesus was not necessary for their salvation, which would be the definition of self-righteousness, they put themselves outside the kingdom of God. And so the fundamental truth that Jesus was teaching them back then, and the fundamental truth that Jesus is teaching us today through this little parable is this. The way of righteousness comes only to those who travel the road of repentance. Let me repeat that. The way of righteousness comes only to those who travel the road of repentance. So let's talk about that word repent and the related word repentance. When you hear either of these words, what comes to your mind? You hear the word repent and repentance. Chances are what initially comes to mind is the idea of being sorry for our sins. And that's true. That's part of what it means to be repentant. But the fact of the matter is it goes well beyond that. In fact, we can say that's only one of three distinct parts of repentance. Well, what are the other two? In answer to that, let me share you the opening words which a pastor shares with someone he is giving private communion with, too. Maybe it's at a hospital, maybe it's someone who is homebound. There's different ways of doing this, but this is one way of doing it. And as you listen to these words, see if you can pick out the three elements that constitute true repentance. After laying out the desire and the necessity for Christians to take Lord's Supper, the pastor continues by asking this series of questions. I therefore ask you before God, who searches the heart. You confess the sins which you have committed in desire, thought, word, and deed. Do you heartily repent of them? Believe in Jesus Christ for forgiveness, and sincerely intend, with the help of God the Holy Spirit, to amend your sinful life? Then answer yes. Did you catch all three parts? First is the confession that we indeed fail to be the people of God that He wants us to be, and that we, out of love for Him, want to be ourselves. We acknowledge that we feel sorrow for our sins, the sins which we commit in thought, word, and deed. Let's get specific here. What sins should we be repenting of? Well, that list is as individualized as we are. Most of us know what our pet sins are. Most of us know where our areas of weakness and vulnerability are. But if you truly don't, here's a few options that you can try on for size. Maybe it's a greed that always wants more and puts self rather than God at the center of all decision making, including financial decision making. Maybe it's an anger that excuses itself as being not great, but, you know, this is kind of the way I'm wired. This is just the way I am. I get mad. I fly off the handle a little bit. Just maybe people need to deal with that. Maybe it's a lust fed by the easy accessibility of adult internet sites. Maybe it's an overinflated view of our own goodness, which we manage quite well because we never want to compare ourselves to the perfection of God's Word. Rather, we compare ourselves to the faults of others. Maybe it's an envy that is never satisfied with what we have. Manifests itself in a chronic state of joylessness, a chronic state of discontent, always thinking happiness is just over the horizon. I could be happy if... ... fill in the blank. Or maybe it's the very same thing Jesus' initial listeners were guilty of, that lethal and toxic combination of pride and self-righteousness and zero sense of self-awareness. As one Bible commentator put it, there is no such fault as counting we have no fault. We all have faults. We all have something to repent of. In fact, the Apostle John says in his first epistle, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But here's the good news. Repentance doesn't end with sorrow or remorse. There is no virtue in spiritually beating ourselves up or considering self-loathing to be an end in itself, as if God will like us more if we think less and less of ourselves. No. Sorrow over sin is only the first stop. The next leg on the road of repentance is the most important one because it takes us to the cross of Jesus Christ. And at the cross of Jesus Christ, all is forgiven and all means all. The things that bother us, the things that we look back on and still haunt us, all have been forgiven. Are you familiar with the book Pilgrim's Progress? In generations past, they said it was the most influential book in the Christian church besides the Bible. It's an allegory, a story. Again, maybe you're familiar with it. The pilgrim, this Christian, is making his way from the city of destruction, from the earth to heaven, the celestial city. And the book is all about his progress. Well, he's burdened by his sins. He's troubled by his sins. And that is symbolized with a large knapsack on his back. So he's making his way down the road. He's got this huge backpack on his back, and he's struggling to keep himself balanced. And he gets to a point, and he asks a couple of messengers along the road if they can give him any suggestions how he can find some relief. And they point him to a hill in the distance, and on that hill, there are three crosses. And they say, go there, you'll find relief for your burden there. And so he makes his way to that hill. And as he goes up that hill, and as he makes his way to that center cross, that big knapsack falls off his back, rolls down the hill, and is covered up in an empty tomb. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Is God a righteous God who demands that our sins not just be swept under the rug, not just be overlooked, but they be paid for? Yes, He is. But He is also a loving and compassionate God who sent His Son to bear the punishment our sins deserve. At the cross of Jesus Christ, we see the love of God and the justice of God harmonized. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, God made Him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in Him, trusting in Him, having faith in Him, we might become the righteousness of God. We might become righteous in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ provides rest for our souls. He carried the burden of our sin. And every single one of them was nailed to the cross with Him. And in the eyes of God, they are gone. As the psalmist says, they are as far as the east is from the west. So the road of repentance leads us to the cross where all is made right. We are the redeemed, restored, forgiven people of God. And that leads us to the final stop on the road. With those first two components being taken care of, sorrow over our sins, confession over our sins, which leads us to the cross of Jesus Christ and the assurance that our sins are forgiven, then the question in the private communion asks, do you intend, with the help of God, to amend your sinful life? In other words, is it your intention, you who are redeemed, restored, forgiven, is it your intention to live for your Lord Jesus? Is it your intention to represent Him well? Is it your intention to revolve your life around Him? And the redeemed child of God says, yes. In fact, the redeemed child of God says, I'm sorry you had to ask. How could it be otherwise? Next week, many churches, including your church, will observe Reformation Sunday. And undoubtedly, somewhere along the line, the name of Martin Luther will be invoked, and you might be reminded of that seminal event in the life of Martin Luther and the Lutheran Reformation when he nailed the 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. 95 theses, 95 statements. Do you remember what the very first one was? The first of the 95 theses, which was the foundation for all the rest of the 94? This is what Martin Luther wrote. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, He called for the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Luther knew exactly what he was writing because he properly understood the meaning of repentance and how the Christian life is a daily journey of acknowledging our sin, finding our forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and then with God's help, showing our appreciation by the life that we live to His glory and to His honor. Or as Jesus links the two together in our text, the way of righteousness comes only to those who travel the road of repentance. Praise God that this word is in our spiritual vocabulary. Praise God that He has allowed us not only to know this word, but to practice what it means. And pray God that He will always keep us on the road of repentance, because it alone is the way of righteousness, and there is nothing more important than that. God grant it to us all for Jesus' sake. Amen.